thank you for helping us make Budget and for more than 5 million downloads of Issues Etc. in 2018. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 11 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, and thanks for your financial support of Issues Etc., live and on demand, and for our 24/7 talk and music stations. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Well, there's been a political change in Washington after the midterm elections. The U.S. House went from barely a majority of Republican to barely a majority of Democrats. Now, that is significant in the sense for committee chairmanships and recently a new Speaker of the House, which is a recycled Speaker of the House from previous years. But does it change the way the House is really going to vote on issues like abortion? Already, after only 36 hours, I think it was yesterday, abortion came up in the form of the Consolidated Appropriations Act. Joining us to talk about federal pro-life legislation in 2019, Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life, based in Washington, D.C. Carol, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
We are often told that abortion is not that big of a deal in elections, but what does it tell you that in only 36 hours, the newly sat House of Representatives had already brought the subject up?
It tells us that the other side, I think, is maybe getting smarter. They did not campaign on abortion. They campaigned on other issues, but abortion was their reason for wanting to get elected. What we saw yesterday in their, one of the first votes that they took of the session was an effort to overturn the president's Mexico City policy, or now called the Protecting Life in Global Health Assistance Program, where they want our tax dollars to be given to organizations that are going to go overseas and either perform abortions or promote abortion or try to change pro-life laws in other countries. That was their, one of their first priorities. So abortion is definitely an issue in elections. The other side didn't campaign about it, and unfortunately, it, I believe, helped them to win many seats.
So what you're saying here is this has been, at least on the subject of abortion, a bit of a bait and switch. They simply did not say, we want to fund abortion internationally, but it is one of the first things they decided to do. There are a lot of things they could have done in the first hours.
Oh, there certainly were. I'm not sure many of the pro-abortion Democratic candidates campaigned on sending tax dollars to organizations overseas to kill unborn babies. But that is one of the first things they voted on, and I think that's telling. That's what we're going to see for the next 2 years out of the House, because they have quite an agenda.
So let's talk a little bit about what that agenda may be. But before we do that, does the Consolidated Appropriation Act, if it were to make it past the Senate and the president, would that gut the Mexico City policy?
Yes, it would. They would be refunding the organizations. Mexico City policy would be gone. Also included was a restoring of U.S. funding of the United Nations Population Fund, which supports China's forced abortion policy. So they were throwing it in.
So what do you expect from the, as you say, for the next 2 years, from a democratically controlled House of Representatives?
Their top priority is going to be funding for abortion on demand. They want to get rid of the Hyde Amendment, which has saved more than 2 million unborn babies by not paying for abortions over the past 40-plus years that it has been in effect. They want to introduce, sometimes you've been hearing many of the new members talk about Medicare for All. The current version that is being considered in the House funds abortion on demand. They want to get rid of any conscience rights protections so that medical personnel would be forced to perform or assist in an abortion or lose their jobs. And they also want to put forward, we expect to see something like the Women's Health Protection Act, which would basically undo all federal and state limits on abortion. The House is controlled currently by people who really want unlimited, unrestricted abortion on demand for all 9 months of pregnancy paid for by our tax dollars.
Then I guess what I'm wondering is, given the fact that the House can pass anything it wants, it still has to make it past the Senate in a rather complex process of legislative compromise. And then for anything actually to occur, it has to get the president's signature. It sounds as though if the Senate isn't, the only thing standing between the House and what it wants is President Donald Trump for the next 2 years.
Well, because of the Senate and President Trump, that's why I can sleep at night. We do have pro-life control in the Senate. I don't see any of the bills that are coming through, that I just mentioned, getting through the Senate. And if they do, we have a pro-life president who I strongly believe would veto them. Before the vote that was taken yesterday, the president, or the White House, the administration, did send a letter to Congress saying if this bill passes as it is, the president's top advisors are going to recommend, and this is the way they always do it, it's not just this administration, past presidents will just say top advisors will recommend to the president that he veto the bill. And one of the items mentioned that would cause a veto was the reversal of the Mexico City policy. So we do have a majority of pro-lifers in the Senate. We'd have a pro-life president, and that's going to get us through the next 2 years, but it's going to be a tough battle after that.
Do you believe that the president and his advisors are aware of how crucial the Hyde Amendment is to be protected?
I think they do. I had a chance to talk to one of his top advisors just a few weeks ago, and I said, basically, be aware. They may come back and say, we'll give you the wall on the border, but then we want the Hyde Amendment. And she's like, oh, okay, I guess we better, be aware and be looking at that. So I think that is a possibility that they may actually try to do something like that for a compromise. Maybe it won't happen, but that's how strongly I think they feel that abortion and abortion funding has to be allowed and provided for.
How solid is that Senate pro-life majority?
It's good. We've got two Republican senators who are probably not with us most of the time. They have been usually pretty good on judges, which is still the biggest thing we can get out of the Senate, judicial confirmations, so that our federal judges at the district level and the circuit courts of appeals are going to be looking at the Constitution, and I expect to see more of our pro-life laws passed in the states being upheld. So that is still the top priority in the Senate for us, and they've been doing a great job. There are two Republican senators out of the 54 that I would say we can't count on, but there are 52 that I truly believe we can. So we do have the votes to stop the bad language that's coming over from the House.
Is it safe to say that, at least for the next 2 years, with respect to the House and the legislative process, it's going to be largely a defensive game?
For the pro-life movement, yes. We are going to be on defense in the House, and our defense, thank the good Lord above, is a Senate and a president who will not let it happen.
Do you think that any kind of pro-life legislation has a chance in the next 2 years?
Unfortunately, no. Even if we could get something out of the Senate, they did vote on the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act last year. They will likely consider that again this year. They're looking possibly at the No Taxpayer Funding for Abortion Act. But even if we can't get the 60 votes because we knew we would need to pick up, 8 Democrats, which we are not going to get. We need 60 votes to stop a filibuster. But even if we could get it through the Senate, there's no way it's going through the House.
How do you respond to this? We allegedly had a pro-life majority in all three branches of government for 2 years, Carol, and we couldn't defund Planned Parenthood. What difference does it make who we elect, someone might ask?
It does make a difference. Defunding Planned Parenthood was a big disappointment. We certainly wanted that to happen during the last session. Part of our battle with some people who vote with us most of the time is that Planned Parenthood is not receiving federal funds for performing abortions. They were getting the funds for providing other services to Medicaid patients. And Planned Parenthood has a huge PR budget. They have a huge cultural approval rating in the country. And it was a battle that we were not able to succeed. So that is a disappointment. But if we use that as a reason to walk away from the voting booth and not continue to elect pro-life candidates, we are going to quickly see things turn around so that we will be taxpayer funding of abortions. We will be seeing our medical personnel forced to provide or support, assist in abortions. There is just so much that could go wrong. You know, defunding Planned Parenthood would have been wonderful, but in the overall scheme of things, I would say there are other things that are more important.
Carol Tobias is president of National Right to Life, based in Washington, D.C. Carol, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome.
The 2019 LCMS Life Conference is scheduled for January 17th through the 19th in Washington, D.C. It includes participation in the National March for Life. You can find out more at lcms.org/life, lcms.org/life. When we come back, we'll pick up our series on the Lutheran Confessions. We are in Luther's Small Catechism, the second petition of the Lord's Prayer, Thy Kingdom Come, with Pastor Paul McCain. How does Christianity compare with Islam, Mormonism, skepticism, Buddhism, Scientology, Jehovah's Witnesses, and other world religions? You'll find answers in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, The Christian Difference. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about The Christian Difference at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, The Christian Difference.
Visiting Concordia University Chicago is a great way to open up your world. Tour our beautiful 40-acre campus, hear from current students about why they chose Concordia Chicago, discover more than 70 degree programs, and learn about financial aid and generous scholarship opportunities. Attend our February 18th visit day for high school and transfer students. Register today at cuchicago.edu/visit.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Jesus is the Word of God. He's also incarnate, born of the Virgin Mary and made man. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word is all about Jesus for you. A confessional liturgical parish in the Michigan District, we invite you to worship with us in our new location at the corner of Wattles and Livernois Roads in the Troy Museum and Historic Village, Troy, Michigan. LCIW.org.
Several Issues Etc. regular guests are candidates for leadership positions in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Every LCMS congregation has received nomination forms for the president and vice presidents of the Synod. Please encourage your pastor and congregational leaders to fill out and return these nomination forms before February 20th of 2019. Learn more at issuesetc.org/nominations. issuesetc.org/nominations.